Going deep with the indies.
Listen.
Who doesn't want to go deep with the indies?
Yeah, dirty real quick.
Like, any indie?
I don't know.
Like Indiana Jones?
Oh, he would go deep with Indiana Jones.
Super deep. Who's the number one on the list? I'm curious. Because if it's not John Cena, then I'm not really sure.
It's Okada. New Japan.
Oh.
The guy Kenny Omega had a bunch of those great matches with recently.
It's not Kenny Omega, huh?
Nope. Kenny Omega's on the top five, though.
Who's the
fixed? It's fixed.
What's the top 10?
So let's start number 10. It'll be fun. Number 10 is The Miz.
Okay.
WWE.
Really?
He's really gotten a lot better. Right. I used to hate him, but he's kind of trying to win me over. Number he's nine.
Like, this is for Mike.
Cody's favorite entrance music of all time, Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
Number eight.
Wait, so Bobby Roode's music is number
yeah,
eight?
Yeah, it's not
might
Bobby
as well
Roode.
Be. That's literally the greatest okay. intro ever. Nah, so number 10, The Miz. Number nine, Bobby Roode. Number eight, Samoa Joe. Number seven, Dean Ambrose.
Oh.
Number six, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Wow.
I like Shinsuke Nakamura a lot.
Yeah, you do.
And number five, The Cleaner, Kenny Omega.
Aw, shit.
And this is my favorite thing that's on the list because it's going to piss the internet nerds off, is Roman Reigns, number four.
Oh, dang, yeah.
Oh, I can hear the internet already booing at him.
Yeah.
That's going to get super
Number
bad.
Three, the best in the business currently going right now. Guesses? My personal favorite. Active wrestler.
Oh, what's his name? The one who wears his own t-shirt.
Nah.
I can't think of it.
Nah.
No chin. What's his name?
Nah. No, not Ellsworth.
Ellsworth, yeah.
I hope he's on the top 500. I can't wait for the full list to come out.
Number five.
No, number three.
Oh, number three.
What was the dude that wore the jeans?
That was Dean Ambrose.
That's Dean Ambrose. Okay, never mind.
Your favorite current?
My current favorite. Kevin Owens.
Oh, I forgot about
that.
That
doesn't count. He's your family.
I know, right?
Right.
I try to tell people he's my little brother. People don't believe me.
If this show, they would.
So, yeah, it's number three,
actual
Kevin Owens.
Proof that he's your cousin.
Number two, AJ Styles.
Oh, okay.
And then number one, Okada.
What? What? Really? Number one?
No, I spoiled that one.
Way to ruin that fucking list.
Okada's been on a fucking tear lately, dude. Like, every match he has... He's, like, really taking that old-school approach of, like, I'm the champ. I should put the best match on every night. And he's putting the best match on every night, and he's fucking killing himself doing it.
Well, it's good, though.
So I kind of hope...
Go out on top.
Ooh,
yeah, right?
It is rough. But, yeah, that just popped up on the Twitters right now.
That's cool.
Ooh.
And who does the list?
Pro Wrestling Illustrated. They've been doing the list for 100 years.
Really? So, 100
like,
years?
Literally 100 years.
No, not 100 years. Like, probably...
I mean, because wrestling's been around
for... you said 100 years, like it was the real thing.
I would say, if I had to guess, I would say at least 40 years they've been doing
okay.
it.
Okay.
Interesting, yeah. Okay. Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
You know what today is?
What's today, Cody?
Today is the first time we're on Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Ooh. Talk Radio.
What?
What?
What does that mean?
So, if you are listening to this right now... as of Friday, September 1st, when this goes up, you may have heard an ad. That ad will be audible on all of our episodes from now. I don't know what an ad it is, but it's an ad. So you'll have one at the beginning and the end of every episode, everybody. So if you're wondering, you didn't download the wrong podcast. It is still us. And... we just have a new home and some new stuff going on, so boom, yeah. Nothing's going to change. You're going to still get it the same way you have, unless you're directly downloading it, and then, well, you're going to get it the same way, but with a different RSS feed, which will be found on the Facebook page come Friday. So, booyah. Michael, you want to take care of some business?
Yeah, just quick? A quick amendment to something I said, though. The magazine Pro Wrestling Illustrated has been out since 72. They haven't done the 500 lists until 91. So they've been doing it since 91.
Okay. So not 40 years.
Not 40 years.
Big fat lion.
I was getting it confused with like the actual PWI magazine because they did best wrestler list like since the beginning.
Okay.
They hadn't gone
balls deep. Was 91 the first time they could think of 500 wrestlers?
Probably. Were there 500 wrestlers in 91?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Japan, dude. Japan's been doing it like crazy for a long time.
Well, that's sumo wrestling.
Yep.
Way to make a generalization, I know.
Wow. They've been doing wrestler of the year since 72, tag team of the year since 72, match of the year since 72. So that was their big year in special right there.
Mm-hmm.
Feud of the year jumped out to 86. Most popular wrestler of the year since 72. Most hated wrestler of the year since 72. Most improved wrestler of the year since 78. Most inspirational wrestler of the year since 72.
Really?
Rookie of the year since 72. I don't know what that is. Comeback of the year since 92. Woman of the year 72 to 76 and reestablished in the year 2000.
Wow.
So I guess women weren't wrestling in that stretch of time.
Nope. I never saw them.
Oh, also midget wrestler of the year from 72 to 76, because that was a big deal at one point in time. Hopefully that comes back soon. And announcer of the year since 77.
Interesting.
Okay.
But news. Business. I digress. Business.
Business.
News is just taken care of.
Business.
Business. Go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast we call Comes Naturally. As always, I want you guys to help us out a little bit. Please go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Then head on over to Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
at Comes Natural Pod.
After you do that, follow it. Follow us. Follow. Then go to iTunes, rate the podcast, review the podcast, and subscribe to the podcast so it downloads automatically for you every Friday morning without any work or effort whatsoever.
Just none.
Sweet, sweet audio pleasure right for your ear holes.
Mm-hmm.
Friday morning. Uh-huh. Oh, you want to start the weekend off right.
Yeah.
What's up? How you doing? That's that. Cody, what's our motherfucking name?
Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to the show, everybody. We're testing out some new stuff.
Oh, I feel so re-energized.
Yeah, you do.
Reinvigorated.
He did some coke before we started.
Re-established.
So.
And other type of re's. I ran out of re's. Everyone hates me.
Yeah, we didn't like you beforehand, but
that's true.
I liked you.
I had to be on the podcast. It was my idea, so fuck you guys.
We're just waiting for him to move out of state. That's all it is.
It's coming soon, don't worry.
That's what she said. Oh, damn it.
That is what she said.
Damn it.
Right?
Yeah.
It worked out way too well. So, besides top 500 wrestlers of the year, which seems weird, they've already made their list up since it's not, I mean, as of right now, it's September, but the list came out on the 30th.
Yeah, I don't know why they do it like that. I'm trying to think.
Maybe it's their fiscal year.
Well, if they started doing it in 91, SummerSlam was already real, like, very established. And I'm trying to think what was the big WCW pay-per-view was probably
Well, here's the question. What big pay-per-view happens between right now and the end of the actual calendar year?
Just the big one would be Royal Rumble.
Which is in what time?
October, usually, right?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I mean, you're the wrestling nerd, so.
That one might be January. So, yeah, I don't think there's a big one until. So, maybe it had something to do with whatever the big pay-per-view, because SummerSlam is up now. Which is the second biggest pay-per-view of the year for WWE, WWF at the time. And WCW probably had their big one. That's probably why it's...
Could be.
Something down. So they can count
Could be.
Mania, Slam, and whatever WCW's big one was.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Michael.
Yes?
Killing Gunther. What do you think? What do you think of the trailer?
I want to see it.
Yeah, you do.
It looks really funny.
It does look really funny. Joe finally watched it. I made him watch it because he hadn't What'd watched you think?
It. I want to see it too. Yeah.
Do you think it's gonna do business though? It's one of those ones because it's an indie movie.
Yeah.
Like it's a pretty like it's a high budget indie movie, which makes it a pretty low budget movie.
Yeah, I mean, when your biggest, I mean, I don't want to say your biggest name is Arnold Schwarzenegger, but when your biggest second name is the guy who wrote it and directed it, yeah. And people don't really know his name.
They'll be like, oh, is that SNL dude?
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, I mean, I read about it a while back, and I thought it sounded hilarious, and I'm really glad they went with the whole, like, being filmed like a documentary type thing.
Yeah, that's not what I was expecting when I first read the synopsis, because, like, a few months ago, the first stills got released. And I was like, oh, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger's new movie. Cool. And he's been, you know, because he's kind of been not doing great, you know, yeah, in terms. But, I mean, he's had decent shit. It's just none of it's selling because, like, that style, his best work is not something that sells big anymore. But this, I was like, okay, it's by the SNL dude writing, directing it. So it's going to be funny. It's going to be different.
It's Mr. Colby Smulders, by the way.
Yeah.
So just in case you didn't know that.
But I didn't know it was gonna be a documentary type thing, but it gives cool little moments where you can have Schwarzenegger talking directly into the camera about how great he is as a hitman, which is gonna be a lot of fun.
I like the part where he goes, "They're gonna be terminated for sure." I was like, "Oh, come on. That's like the best thing ever."
Right.
Pretty great. I'm pretty excited about it. Looks good.
Yeah, it looks funny.
I hope it does business, man. Like, that's every time I see a movie now that I like I want to see that is a low budget or is something different and unique, I'm like, oh, hope it sells.
Because
that means we'll get more of it. Last time I felt like that was with Baby Driver. I saw the trailer for Baby Driver. I was like, oh, hope it sells.
Yeah, because it's different enough not to be... Could be that it's not as popular.
Yeah.
Even though it looks super clever and looks super hilarious, people are just dumb and want to go, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, people are the worst.
But it's nice to see. It's cool to see Arnold Schwarzenegger in like a straight-up comedy, though, like an action comedy.
I'm trying to think, what was the last straight-up comedy that he's done?
That's a good question. I wish I had an internet machine in front of me.
Right? I can't think of anything.
Let's see here.
Was the last one... like Last Action Hero?
No.
It's gotta be something else. I'm trying to think of what else he was really in that was not laughable, but actual comedy. Let's see. Bum, bum,
bum. What you got?
I'm looking at listed as playing Trench in Expendables 4. Comes out next year, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's see. I wouldn't say he was in. I mean, he was in Around the World in 80 Days, but he wasn't really. You know, it wasn't like his movie.
No.
Governator at that point.
Yeah. Jingle All the Way.
Wow.
1996.
That far
back. Wow.
Yeah. So 21 years ago.
Dang.
Wow.
Yep.
I would have thought something.
Then he had Junior before that, Last Action Hero, Kindergarten Cop, Twins.
I can't believe Last Action Hero was 93.
Well, there's a huge one right there. Predator. That was hilarious. Haha. Just kidding. It's not a. Not supposed to be comedy. Yeah, man. So 21 years. It takes him 21 years to make another comedy. It's fine.
I'm digging this one, though. Looks funny, man.
It does look pretty hilarious.
And then, like, they did a good job. Because when the trailer started, I was like, if they try to do, like, crazy explosions all the time, is it going to be one of those ones that look real shitty?
Yeah.
But then when, like, the cars are blowing up on the street, I was like, oh, it's actual explosions. Like, they got to actually blow shit up, so it looks good. It didn't look all cheesy and CGI'd.
Apparently, nowadays, it's actually cheaper to blow real shit up than it is to make fake shit blow up.
I believe it.
These damn fucking computer nerds and their CG capabilities. making movie bills go up. What else happened this week that is worth anything to talk about? I'm trying to pull up a list of...
Speaking of Schwarzenegger real quick.
Stuff. Go ahead.
I just want to talk about this. The very first movie I've ever seen in movie theaters when I was a kid was Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to watch that again. And it was amazing in theaters.
What was your full take on it? Does it hold up over time?
There's some stuff where we couldn't... It's funny because it was myself... Cody, which some of you guys might know, and my wife.
Oh wait, Cody,
you?
No, he's okay.
So I watched Terminator 2 on the regular, pretty much. Like, but I've kind of gotten to the point where like I'll watch it, and it can kind of become just background noise for me because I know the whole movie by heart.
Mm-hmm.
But this was they did the re-release for whatever reason in 3D. For this past week, and it's only at AMC theaters, which sucks, because AMC theaters fucking suck.
But you went to the Westgate one at least.
Yeah, but still, they regulated it to the like back of the line, and
yes,
we went on a Tuesday night,
Monday night.
Oh, that's right, because I was moving. Yeah,
Monday night at 9:45, so we knew no one else was gonna be there.
Well, we knew it'd be slower. We didn't know it was gonna be empty.
Yeah, but we knew, like, if somebody else is going to be there, it's going to be, like, 3 or 4 people. Nobody else is there. But I did see people going into the earlier one, like, a bigger crowd, so mm-hmm. it pulled a little bit of business. And I'm sure the weekend, it did a lot more. So I was excited because James Cameron actually, it wasn't just like, oh, it's 3D now. Like, they do those cheap-ass conversions, and they, like, do shitty.
It's the studio doing it just to make more money.
Yeah, like, he done it. He did it right. So it looked gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But what was weird is there was some stuff that even on the Blu-ray version was so low quality that you couldn't tell it was shitty. Like it was just dark.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing that comes to our minds was they're in the police car after they just busted Sarah Connor out.
Mm-hmm.
And they are clearly not driving on a real road. And that background looks like shit with the better lighting and the better conversion. Because like in the movies, you're like, it's just, they're going fast. It's dark and it's blurry. You can't really tell it looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
But with the crispness of everything and the 3D, you're like, oh, that background is trash. Like, that background is really, really bad.
Might as well be a SNL sketch or something.
Dude, yeah. Yeah, it was rough. But outside of that, there really wasn't any egregious anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it was all pretty fucking good, dude. Like, and the 3D was cool. It was real. Like, that movie lent itself to 3D very well, especially with the T-1000 busting into, like, the helicopter when he's doing his liquid metal shit.
Oh, that would have been dope,
It was, or when he's sitting there with that machine gun just fucking blowing up everything. Yeah, it was really fun. Did you notice anything else that was like real bad, or what did you think looked better than you thought it might?
I mean, the big shots look really good in 3D. You have that clearness, but like the thing that got me is like the scenes where James Cameron will switch points of view when they're in a conversation. It'll basically go in and out of focus for that person.
Yeah.
And when they do that, you
saw... In 3D, that's a little rough. Yeah.
You saw a double image of the person who's out of focus in that scene. And there's that one where it's, like, over John's... like, kind of, like, lower from John's point of view towards him. And it goes back and forth between him and Arnold. And it's like, oh, that got rough a little bit.
Yeah, that was...
But I think that's because of the 3D.
Yeah, that didn't lend itself to 3D very well. But, like, I mean, there's something... Because even when the movie first came out, the thing that... The worst looking part of it was the dream sequence explosion.
Mm-hmm.
So that obviously still looked pretty shitty. But all of the like important stuff, like the transformations from one form to the other for the T-1000 and the scene where he comes up off the floor it's all look good, dude. Yeah, no, like it, good, it's yeah. pretty passable. Like I think that movie with minor tweaks could come out today and people wouldn't be like, all right, nice. That works.
Very nice. Know?
Yeah. The worst part for me though was the fact that this was the first movie ever to come out in THX and the audio quality was fucking terrible in that theater.
It was that, I think that was that theater.
That's what I mean. It was yeah. that theater. Like, it was not good. And it's like THX certification now is like a thing that everything has, you know what I mean? And it just did not sound good at all. Like it didn't sound nearly as good as I remember ever seeing it in theaters sounding like, but also just like, I was just like, well, apparently this theater just needs better audio, I think.
Yeah, I was really bummed it wasn't coming out in a Harkins, especially yeah. Estrella Falls is so good in every auditorium. Like everything sounds so good. The 3D is so crisp there. But man, it was, I know it's goofy of me, but that's my all time favorite movie. Like, cause I loved those action movies growing up. And that's one of the best ones out of the batch. And then the fact that like one of my favorite things to do is go watch a movie at a movie theater, that mm-hmm. being the first movie I ever seen in a movie theater. Like I had a goofy smile on my face for a lot of the movie, just like the nostalgia of it and the fact that it was still good. And I got a chance to see it in theaters again. It was pretty cool. I was really excited. I got to do it. So
that's cool. Yeah. That happened to me with Alien.
Yeah, they missed that because I wanted
years ago.
Yeah.
In theaters, and that was fantastic to watch in theaters. And I never saw it in theaters the first time. It obviously came out in 70 something. Yeah. I wasn't born yet.
Like I compare it to how like when they do the re-release of Star Wars. And like those people who were kids when Star mm-hmm. Wars first came out, and it holds a special place for them. Like I imagine, like that's how they felt when they first got to see it again as adults, and the fact that it holds up is so nice, you mm-hmm. know. Because not a lot of the shit that I liked when I was a kid is still good.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really really cool that I got the chance to do that, and then the fact that like Jen liked it too made it. You know, I didn't have to like drag her along. She's like, "Yeah, let's go watch it." You know, so it was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Mike's like, "Yeah, let's do it."
Yeah.
And so we did it. It was pretty fun though.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I saw that in theaters, like you know when it came out.
Yeah.
So.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it at home.
It was. I think I talked about this before, but when I was a little kid, there was two movies that. Because you know when you're a little kid, you wake up before everyone else, especially mm-hmm. on the weekends. I would wake up before everyone else in my house, and the first thing I would do is I'd either grab Terminator 2 or Ace Ventura When Nature Calls.
When Nature Calls?
No, the first one. The first one. Ace Ventura or Terminator 2, and I would just play that. And by like the last like 15 minutes of the movie, people start waking up and they get so pissed that they have it on because it was literally like every weekend.
Yeah.
I'd pop it on and watch it. And to the point where like I ruined the VHS tapes.
Nice.
Like they didn't work anymore after a while. So,
nice.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Terrible little kid.
Yeah, fuck it, man. Got the money's worth out of it. Yeah, that's when VHS right? tapes were expensive as shit too.
Yeah.
So good times. Good times.
Good times. So let's go over a couple movies that are coming out.
Let's do this.
2017 fall of
coming attractions.
Yeah. Coming attractions.
Coming naturally attractions.
Yeah. A week from today when the show goes live, is September 8th and, It comes out. When I say It, I mean the movie It. Comes out.
Yeah, uh-huh. With the clown and the balloons and the man. Paper bloat thing. Yeah.
Scary shit.
Yeah, some scary shit happening.
I gotta say, I am not a big fan of scary movies. Not because I don't like the ideal of a scary movie.
Because you get scared.
No, that's not even it. You know why it is? It's because there's so many shitty scary movies that I lost faith in the genre.
There are.
You know, like there's very few movies that when it gets a big buzz, I'll be like, all right, I'll go watch it. And I'm usually disappointed. I think the bar is set so low for scary movies now that, like, any movie that's halfway decent gets blown up as being great.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie has some of the scariest and unsettling trailers I can remember seeing for a movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I know the story and I've seen the original TV movie, two-parter.
Movies, yeah.
Yeah. And I know, like, that was good. This actually looks better. I'm like, holy shit, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
And then completely unnerving at the same time.
Yeah.
And this is going to be two movies, too. So, nice thing about it is this, the first one, which I really wish they would have called part one, but I think people probably would have been upset, will be focused on the kids when they were kids, and then the second one will be when they're adults.
Dang.
That's yeah. cool. Yeah. So hopefully it does good enough, they continue that. I think they already started filming the second one already, because it's supposed to be out next year.
Because if I'm not mistaken, the original came out like back-to-back nights, right? Or back-to-back weeks or something like that?
I want to say it was back-to-back nights, but it could have been a week.
Because that used to be a big deal back in the day, that like special back-to-back TV nights. Event kind of thing.
Yeah, because they did that with Rose Red and Kingdom Hospital, both Stephen King. I don't remember if Kingdom Hospital was like a novella or anything that he wrote, but he had a hand in doing that. But yeah, I remember every night for 1 hour they would play that part of the story.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's what they did with it.
Yeah, they did. I think it was either might have been a week apart, but I think it was like back to back nights, like Friday night's this, Saturday it's that, or whatever.
But to Mike's point, I agree that scary movies these days are more about. And I bring up Saw. I don't really like those types of movies because they focus more on the gore and the suspense and stuff.
After the second one.
But it's like, to me, it just doesn't seem like there's much more into it than that. Whereas something with It, you have more of a history and background that you get interested in. That's why kind of the Paranormal Activity ones were interesting, because it had a little bit more story to it.
Yeah.
Not much, but a little bit more.
I like Paranormal Activity because it felt unique and different.
Yes.
And the originality of it lent you to not really know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Paranormal Activity and then Paranormal Activity 2 I thought was just as good, if not better. It made it like my favorite 1-2 for a long time. So, yeah, hopefully this movie is not a disappointment.
Yeah.
Because I think every genre needs a great movie, and the better this movie is, the better the following scary movies should be. You know what I mean? Hopefully force people to up their game, or force studios to give creative people. Cause Get Out was a scary movie.
Yeah, it really was.
So, and that movie was amazing. Like, that was a good movie on any level. Like, you can't, like, people watch Get Out and you can't say, oh, that was good for a scary movie. Like, no, that was a good fucking movie.
It had a good storyline with it, and it was terrifying. And you can't
say that about a lot of scary movies. Mm. So if this is just flat out a good movie, I think we have a chance of starting to roll the tide a little bit and get better stuff, which, I mean, that's all anybody wants is just better shit. So,
right.
You going to make it through that, Cody?
Well, I'm looking at a picture of him right now.
Cody owns a... Where'd you put it? The picture.
You owned a picture of a crazy-ass killer clown?
Yeah, the one that he sent us in the text message?
Yeah.
He bought it.
Oh, nice.
It's somewhere up there.
Yeah,
I'll show it later.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I ain't afraid of no clown as long as it's not directly in front of me in real life.
Fair enough.
Yep. Yeah. Followed up week later... We have American Assassin with Beetlejuice and that kid from Maze Runner.
Or Michael Keaton and that kid from Maze Runner.
Yeah, that works too. His name is Dylan O'Brien, by the way.
Nobody cares until that movie's good.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Speaking of Michael Keaton, that the Beetlejuice
Oh, yeah. So Hallmark has a Beetlejuice ornament. Jeez. And you press a button that does you would think like a catchphrase.
No.
No, it's like a whole fucking like scene from the movie,
2 minute long.
Yeah,
and it's not just him. It's you could hear the
it's like Alec. I think it's Alec Baldwin and him talking back and forth. I was like,
that's pretty amazing.
It was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I just really wished it was just like him kicking over a tree, like just pressing the button, like nice fucking model, pal.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. Yeah,
that was one of the funniest lines of the movie.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I'm pretty happy he did that whole career comeback thing and then like held on to it too.
Because
like Birdman came out and people were like, oh shit, Michael Keaton's back. And you're like kind of holding your breath. I'm like, well, is that
it? We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Nah, wasn't it? He's been pumping out some really good movies.
Yeah. Especially Spider-Man Homecoming. He's fantastic.
Or The Founder? Did you guys see The Founder yet?
I haven't watched
it
yet.
No, but I mean,
it's so good.
He looked like he played it well.
It's so good. Yeah. He did that newspaper one too, which I haven't seen, but it won a bunch of awards.
That one. Yep.
About the Catholic Church.
Yeah, can't think of what it's called right now. I just don't know about. Yeah. Yeah, man, this one just looks like a fun action movie though.
Yeah. Which is cool because like I feel like Liam Neeson started that whole, hey, if you're an old actor, you could still do action movies, which is totally cool with me. So I like more old actors should do action movies like Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Keep waiting for Tom Hanks to do his action flick, like a straight up action flick. The closest we got to Road to Perdition.
Yeah. He's been right on that line though, because you got, what was it, Captain Phillips, yeah.
Yeah, but his always
that tense. One was more of like a tent, like a
thriller drama type deal. I really just want to see Tom Hanks fucking
yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yes.
Gunning bitches down.
Yes. Yeah. He's next, man.
Joe versus the Volcano 2.
Volcano harder.
Yep.
Let's do it.
Takes place during Christmas time at an airport.
But tell me, like Tom Hanks could pull off one of those movies like this. Like, I obviously haven't seen the movie yet, but American Assassin, where, you know, Michael Keaton's the older teacher guy, but still gonna fucking kill some people. Like, Tom Hanks could do that.
Yeah.
He's too good not to be able to pull that off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make it happen, Tom.
He did Saving Private Ryan, so he's...
Yeah, you know, believable with a gun in his hand.
Believable, yeah.
Yeah, man, I'd do it. I'd watch it for sure.
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Do it, Tom.
Also that same week, we have Mother. Which looks super, super intense.
Which one was that one?
It's the one with...
Darren Aronofsky's new flick.
Yeah.
Yeah, all
you
right?
have to say is that name, and it's just going to be fucked up.
He's at that level now. He's at that Chris Nolan level where you're like, hey, Chris Nolan's new movie. I'm like, yes, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
I might not watch it right away, but I will definitely watch that. After Black Swan, I am watching everything Darren Aronofsky does.
But like, you know it's going to be like fucked be up good. And weird.
Yeah.
I'm in.
It just looks super creepy.
And
I don't
Jennifer
know what's
Lawrence
going on.
Is a good actress. So, like.
Oh, shit. Her in a
day? Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It looks uncomfortable. which is always good.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Ed Harris, Michelle Pfeiffer, Javier Bardem.
Oh, goddamn.
I mean,
fucking murderer's row of, we're going to creep you out.
Yeah.
Just watch the first trailer they released, and that's all you really need.
And don't. Like, I'm trying to do that thing we always talk about, trying to go in with I'm not watching anything else. I don't even want to rewatch that trailer. That trailer was so good where I'm like, I just want to go in not really knowing what the fuck's going on. Because the trailer doesn't really give you anything. You just know fucked up shit is happening. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, it looks fucking ridiculous. Let's see. Week after that, you have... Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
I'm in.
Dope.
Yeah, definitely going to see that one. Very American. Fuck yeah, it is.
Fuck yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't even know.
They had the baseball grenades in the newest trailer.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yep. I'm not going to go over all the people in that because, I mean,
it's
don't
a lot.
Even know it. Lego Ninjago movie.
Why are the Lego movies so good?
Because they're written by adults for adults.
All right.
They're not pandering to kids.
Mm-hmm.
But kids still like them because kids...
It's bright colors.
You know, and it's funny. Like, there's some slapstick in it, so it's good. But I remember when they first announced the Lego movie, I was like, that's fucking weird. Like, I didn't want to say it was bad or good. I was just like, well, that's just fucking bizarre. And then I read, like, the whole thing's literally going to be just made out of Legos. I was like, are they going to be able to do that?
Yeah,
like,
I know, right?
They did.
Like, yeah, and we watched it, and I was like, holy shit, this is so fucking good. Like, it's just so smart, so funny, so well performed. And the fact that they didn't do cartoon and they actually did Lego, which means, like, they don't cheat. Like, the Lego movement is only what a Lego movement is.
Which was fantastic.
Which adds a whole element to the movie of ridiculousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lego Batman was amazing. And then, like, they're doing the Ninjago, which, like, at this point, it's like, all right, you guys are two for two.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to keep going until you guys fuck up. And I don't think they're going to be fucking up because the trailer looks funny. Yeah. The Lloyd.
Oh, my God. That is so hilarious.
Yeah, it's so good.
My name is Lloyd. No, L-L-O-Y-D. I named you Lloyd.
Yeah, so that movie looks hilarious.
And it's also part of Jackie Chan's comeback plan. So
yeah,
that and The Foreigner.
Yeah. Dude, that movie looks... I saw the trailer for that originally. I was like, cool, this is going to be one of those fucking straight to iTunes ones that's actually going to be good. And then I saw it in a trailer for like an actual movie theater. I was like, is this getting a theatrical release? Holy shit.
And then he's got, what's it, Other Pets 2, I think it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays the...
Oh, yeah.
Is it a mouse? Yeah.
Bunny or mouse. Or something?
Yeah. It's the mouse.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah. Welcome back, Jackie Chan. Right. We got to get that Jet Li comeback going, too.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Heck yeah.
The week following that, September 29th, we have American Made with Tom Cruise as a pilot.
Are that drug running?
Yeah. Mm. That one looks interesting. He looks like he plays a drastically different character in that one. He's like humorous and... So, be interesting.
And a normal person, not a fucking superhero man.
Yeah.
Yep. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So. Speaking of Tom Cruise, have you guys seen The Mummy yet?
No. Nope.
We still haven't. Yeah, no. Me either. I want to see it.
I do too.
Fuck, but I'm just. I don't know.
It's the type of movie that's right up my alley, that action adventure kind of history movie. I'd love that stuff, but I haven't had any draw to really like rent it or go out and try and view it.
I want to buy it tonight. I don't know.
You can.
It's on iTunes, folks. It's only $14.99 too. I'm scared of it being fucking god awful though.
Right. And you know now what I mean? You own it.
But then it's like, if it's amazing though, I'm gonna kick myself in the dick for not watching it in theaters.
I honestly don't think it's gonna be amazing.
What if it is though, Joe? What if it's fucking amazing? I
don't think it will be. It may be good, like better than what critics and other horrible audience members.
I would almost say it is going to be better than that.
Yeah.
Because that people like to shit on his movies for some reason.
Yeah.
He's like the last, like, old school movie star, too.
Yeah.
So don't really know a lot about him, you know, except, like, he's in Scientology, which is weird. But, like, you don't know. There's still, like, an air of mystery to Tom Cruise. And his shit's dope. Like,
because you have the Scientology thing, you know you don't know anything about him because he just seems like a normal guy, and he's like, you're like, oh, he's got to be crazy. And then you hear him in interviews, and like you hear the passion he has for movies and things like.
Dude, when he did the Nerdist, I was shocked when he did the Nerdist. I was like, oh, that's weird that he would do this. It was an hour long conversation, and what came across was how important movies are to him.
Mm-hmm.
And like with that kind of, even if you're fucking whatever religion, as long as you're not hurting people, which Scientology sounds like you might be hurting people. But yeah. I don't know, like, how, I don't know. It's weird to get into.
Once you take that out of the picture, like, he has such passion for what he does.
Yeah. And I have a lot of passion for movies because they're one of my favorite things ever.
Yeah.
So, like it's respectable and it's pretty cool.
Mike's top favorite things, movies, hot dogs, anal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that order.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, I heard of a new hot dog place somewhere around. I don't know. Got
wieners and buns.
Yeah, right. Supposed to be pretty good. I just got to find out where it is.
Let's go.
So yeah, American Made. That same week, this one, I don't know about yet. I don't know if I want to watch it. It is Flatliners.
I think we should watch it.
I'm a solid pass.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to watch the original.
Right.
And then watch this one.
Exactly.
I just don't know if I like the direction it's going. Because I don't remember. I mean, it's been a long time since I watched the other one. The first one. The original one, what do I call it? Just don't know. I just remember it being as scary movie-ish as this. With like the whole like creepy baby in the blanket thing and like little girl drowning inside of a car and whatever. So, I mean, I really need to watch it again. It's been a long, long time. So I need to rewatch it and see if I'm just forgetting things.
See, and I vaguely remember it being more, not like a horror movie, but yeah, it verges on horror thriller type thing.
Suspenseful.
Yeah, suspenseful.
I know it was a Schumacher movie.
Yeah.
Lots of neon.
Actually, surprisingly, I don't think there was.
No, it was only he saved that for Batman.
Yeah,
you know, all the neon.
Yep, he's like his you know, life a guy who hides in the shadow needs neon everywhere.
That cast is pretty ridiculous for as old as that movie is, though.
Oh yeah, man, back in the day, dude.
Fucking Kiefer Sutherland, Julia Roberts, Kevin Bacon, William Baldwin, and Oliver Platt came out in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Damn,
what are they listed as in there? What like genre? They don't list one?
Thriller.
Thriller.
Yeah, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
I remember being more of a thriller than a like the way this, the new one looks more like a straight up scary movie.
They do up the creep factor in this one, like you said, with the weird baby and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. So we'll find out. I don't know.
Anyway, what's next?
October 6th. We just got the runtime for this movie, and it is astronomical. Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
Runtime.
Two hours and 49 minutes.
1 hour or 152 minutes.
Holy crap.
2.5 hours.
Holy shit.
The fact that it's not 2 hours and 49 minutes exactly, though, seems like a missed opportunity.
You think so?
Yeah.
It would be funny.
Or 20 hours and 49 minutes?
That'd be a little ridiculous. Oh, okay. I'm okay with
2 hours and...
Yeah. 2:49.
Yeah.
That one I do...
2 hours, 4 minutes, and 90 seconds would have made sense. It would have been 2:049.
Yeah, the credits are hard to do that with, though.
Yeah. Just fuck these last couple people.
Just done. It just speeds up and ends.
Like on TV, when you watch a movie on TV and the preview or the start of the next things happens is a... Credits are just
like we
I'm
have
like
to,
that
we
doesn't have, count, guys.
No,
ain't nobody reading that shit.
No,
plus like this is like fucking tiny because it's squished over the side. Yeah,
kind of feel bad for those people because you know they have to run that part of the movie, but it's like now we don't give a fuck about them. They made the movie, but fuck
what
them.
About the grip? What about all the key grips? Work hard,
man.
That
best
movie.
Boy.
Yeah,
come on, man.
Shit.
What about assistant to Mr. Depp?
Who names these people? Who gives these titles? Key grip. You're a key
fucking
grip.
Assholes that did a lot of coke.
Yeah.
Because you grip stuff like keys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you're a key to the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. Speaking of Blade Runner, though.
Oh, okay.
Batista, bitch.
Yes.
Yes.
So we found out today, the first of three short films was released today.
Oh, it's fantastic.
The one that came out today was all about Jared Leto's character. His name is Nyander Wallace, is the character's name. This was directed by Luke Scott, who is Ridley Scott's son. It had an introduction by Denis Villeneuve himself. And it was insane. So basically all three of these short films will come out, and they take place between 2017 and 2049, which is the years in between the two movies. So this one took place in 2036. It was called 2036 Nexus Dawn.
I thought the original Blade Runner was 2029.
No, it was set in 2017. Right? Isn't that what it was? Because it's supposed
fully remember.
I'll look it up, Mike. I think that's what it was. I could be wrong.
But it was absolutely fantastic. Jared Leto is just going to knock this role out of the park.
Fucking creepy.
Yeah.
So creepy. So creepy.
And just what he ends up doing. That's a real... That I mean, that's... That made me question what a replicant was, because that essentially was a replicant, right? Yeah. I always thought of them as more of like robots.
Yep.
But when it was more human.
Yeah.
And
with these, I mean, with this one, the words, if you pay attention to what words are saying out loud in it, they're giving you some of the backstory of what's happened between the first movie and in the new movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. But my question I was going to raise is, you're probably going to go back and watch the original, right?
Yep.
Which version are you going to watch?
Final cut.
The final cut? Director's yep. final cut?
It's a minute longer.
Uh-huh.
It's 117 minutes versus 116 minutes.
And that one just adds, what was it, the commentary at the end?
Yeah, the one little scene at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Plus, it's been polished up, so it looks better.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to buy the 4K re-release of it. That seems like a waste right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to dig out my Deckard briefcase and watch the Blu-ray. Actually,
okay. That is the version that you have. Yeah. I figured you would have that
one. I have that one for sure, yeah.
Yeah, what?
Totally.
Loaned it to me a couple months and I haven't watched it yet.
You still haven't watched it?
Nah.
Why?
Yeah, I forgot for a while.
Such You're a good movie. Human garbage.
Right?
Nah.
You have a month.
I'll get it
Less
done.
Than a month.
I'll get it done for sure. But I'll miss her. Wait till the last minute.
Apparently.
But I want to see the new one.
No, don't talk to me about the new one now.
All right.
Did
you find the year?
You don't know.
No, I couldn't.
Man, where's my internet?
Wikipedia
device?
Was being a bitch face. It's no big deal.
It is now.
Nobody gives a fuck, Cody.
We all
give fucks.
What's
the week after that?
The week after that is The Foreigner. We just That's talked it. About
Jackie Chan
with the Jackie Chan.
Pierce Brosnan
looks insane. Oh no, I was off by 2 years. 2019.
Hmm.
2019.
Think Harrison Ford's gonna die in this one?
Can Harrison Ford die?
Yeah,
I think he's trying to kill off all of his characters that he's
yeah, dude.
For.
Wait yeah. till the death of Indy. You're gonna cry.
Oh, I will cry.
You're gonna cry.
Oh,
like
my
a
god,
big old two dicked bitch.
There's gonna be so many tears. Yep,
penis tears. The audience couldn't see me because we're audio. I was making the jerk off
yeah.
motion.
I mean, easy, obviously. Easy. Right. Obviously that
Block
because
talk
you know,
radio now we can't make jerk off motions during the podcast.
We can do whatever the fuck we want.
Obviously that because you know
you same Block Talk Indiana Radio endorses jerk off motions.
So far they have.
All right, everybody jerk off.
Jerk it, jerk it, jerk it, jerk it, jerk it. Ah, jerk it, jerk it, jerk it, jerk it. Yeah, basically. Bitch.
Comes
yeah, the foreigner.
We stimulate your brain yep. and other things.
Release endorphins.
We stimulate your brains and your prostates.
All right, we talked about Foreigner. Yeah.
So the cool thing about this is this movie is being directed by Martin Campbell. If you don't know who that is the gentleman who directed Casino Royale and GoldenEye.
So that should be good.
Yeah. It should at least have some really good action, which the trailer... Certainly looks like it does.
It's cool seeing Jackie Chan in a earnest movie, you know, instead of the, like, because I mean, I kind of love the Rush Hour movies, but I always felt like if Jackie Chan was in a movie, it was going to be a fun action movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this one does not look, and he's not doing ridiculous shit, you know, like the funny, cool stuff, but he's still doing cool shit, but it's just it's got a little grittier tone to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting to see how all that turns out.
Yeah.
Man, we are really in the dog days of movie summer right now, aren't we?
We are.
It's just, it's so long before a movie that we're really excited about comes out.
That same week, we have Goodbye Christopher Robin, which is the biopic of the making of Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
It looks terrifyingly sad, by the way.
Yeah, that movie looks like a movie that's trying to make you cry. Like, yeah. That's the vibe I
just
got from
the
that
name,
movie.
Just the name,
yeah.
Yep. We're going to skip that one for sure. That one, too. I don't even know what that one is. Oh, October 20th.
Ugh, so far away.
The Snowman. Did you watch the trailer for this one?
I have not seen the trailer for it yet.
No.
I saw a poster for it.
I think you saw it.
Did I?
It's the one with Michael Fassbender where the killer is like putting like making people look like snowmen.
Yes. Looks and he's putting their right? Decapitated heads on top of them. Yeah. And, yeah, yep.
Looks fucking yep. nuts.
That yep. sounds like a plot from an 80s scary movie.
I don't give a fuck.
Don't care. It looked scary.
Yep.
And it looked good, man. It's got Michael Fassbender, so I'm in.
It does have Michael Fassbender in it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it looks pretty, pretty crazy. Val Kilmer's in it too.
Really?
So, I'm in.
Yeah. What?
I want Val Kilmer to make a comeback so bad.
Right.
I watched about 8 minutes of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang the other day on TV.
How could you only watch 8 minutes?
This is why, because it was towards the end.
It's true. Yeah.
And I was like, I want to watch this, but I just want to watch the whole thing. You know, like I didn't want to watch the second half. So, yeah, that movie is great.
Yeah, it is. Shane Black at his best. The week after that is Jigsaw, which is the sequel reboot.
Why?
Thing.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of the movie. You're dumb. Not you, Cody. But, like, why are they doing this?
Because it was a moneymaker for them.
But it's like a weird sequel reboot, like, copycat. Yeah, like, it's so fucking dumb. Yep. The fact that a dead guy was the bad guy for 18 movies.
Right?
He wasn't dead in the first few. He died in the last
one. Yeah, I'm only counting the last 18.
Yeah.
A dude died by the third movie. And they made, how many more did they make after
that? He died in the third movie, but not, you didn't see that. It doesn't matter.
But I'm saying, like, in the order the movies came out in.
Yeah.
By the third movie, he's dead.
Nope.
Or he dies in the third movie.
We don't find out until the last movie, though.
But
because he has the open brain surgery.
Just dumb. It's just dumb.
I'm just saying.
Stop making them. That seems like a movie that,
retired. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, though.
It's not for everyone.
No, it's a pass on me.
I'll go see
Hard
it.
Hard pass.
Hard pass, yeah. A movie I'm excited for comes out October 27th, directed by George Clooney, starring Matthew Damon, little known actor. He's been in a few things. Called Suburbicon.
I want this to be a remake of Suburban Commando so bad.
It's not.
Oh, my God. George Clooney and Matt Damon. That'd be fantastic.
I would watch that remake, yes. I want Melissa Milano to dress like a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I want Matt Damon to play her father, who throws buzzsaws at people's faces and kills them because he can throw them so hard.
No, that's Commando.
Oh, that is Commando.
I wanted Suburban Commando.
With Hulk Hogan?
Oh, and Christopher Lloyd.
Doc Brown.
I would watch that
I was
too.
Frozen today. That's my favorite. Like,
he That's why that you guys line. Never talk.
Undertaker.
Well, that's fantastic.
Let's skip that one.
How
too.
Dare you eat during a podcast, you fucking Neanderthal?
I apologize to no one.
Like Conor McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
He apologized.
To?
Himself.
Absolutely fucking no one.
This next one, November 3rd, I don't really know what to think of it. I don't know if you've seen the trailer or not. It's called Last Flag Flying.
It's the Idris Elba one, right?
No. This is the one with Steve Carell, Bryan Cranston, and Lawrence Fishburne.
It's going to be shit.
Richard Linklater movie.
Yeah.
I believe it's going to be shit. Yeah. I watched the trailer. I'm kind of excited about it. I was like, okay.
Because you're like Bryan Cranston and there's
Bryan Cranston, Steve Carell, and Lawrence Fishburne. I was like, all right, that seems like a really
Steve Carell's a really good actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's like those three together. I was like, that could be really. And then I watched this. I was like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need to watch this.
It seems like it's going to be 3.5 hours long. And like, that's the vibe you get from the trailer. Yeah, like, you're just like, oh, there's a road in this movie to get through, man.
And it's interesting because the picture they chose is the one that I, out of the trailer that I saw, that made me curious, but also kind of, I was like, I don't know, but you see the three of them. So you see Bryan Cranston, Steve Carell, and Lawrence Fishburne, and they all look drastically different than what you normally picture them. I mean, obviously they're actors, so they're always going to look different in things, but they don't look like the normal kid, like the normal person you see. So I'll show you the picture.
As long as they don't look like aliens, I mean, I think they look fine.
But they don't, like, you see Brian Cranston with the shadowy beard, and then you see Steve Carell with the mustache and the gray hair, and then Lawrence Fishburne has, like, it's kind of crazy.
I don't see what you're saying, because to me, they just look like their characters.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I... All
right, so, like, the theme behind this one is they were all military buddies when they were young. Lawrence Fishburne left and became a preacher, right?
Yep.
That's what they're saying. Bryan Cranston became an alcoholic, and Steve Carell, you kind of get the vibe, he was just a family dude, mm-hmm. you know? But his son dies in the military.
Yep.
So they're trying to get him to, like, on a road trip to get his flag and his body, I guess, to come back. I don't know. It's
wow, this went depressing really fast.
Yeah. It's insta-depressed.
Like you started to have me with the description of, like, you know, their ex-military buddies, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be like...
Yeah, that's why Steve Carell wanted to get him, because it was his military buddies and his son. I don't know. There's still... I'm waiting for the second trailer, because I'm thinking maybe this was just a bad trailer.
It sounds like a really
disjointed trailer, though.
So what's weird to me is, if you watch the trailer that's out now, that just came out like a week or so ago, there's one part in it that threw me off. And it said... based on the book by Daryl Paniskin. So if you don't know who that is, he's a writer. He wrote a book called The Last Detail. They made a movie of that in 1973 with Jack Nicholson. This is a sequel to that. It's a pseudo sequel to this.
How do you do a sequel to it?
So he wrote a book called The Last Last Flag Falling.
Yeah.
This is based on that. This is an adaptation of that book. The book is this. Jack Nicholson's character from The Last Detail is Steve Carell's character.
Okay.
This is later on in life. His son is in the military. Oh. He passes away, and it's sort of not the same thing, but like basically another journey in his life.
Okay.
Yeah.
That actually makes it more interesting to me for some reason. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. I've never seen that movie,
mm-mm.
that Jack Nicholson one.
So
maybe I'll find that, check it out.
That's why I say I don't know if I'm not completely sold either way, but that trailer did not make me feel good about it. A, because it's like super depressing, but also just didn't look like it would be a good movie.
Yeah.
And again, it could just be the trailer, so... I don't know. Whatever. But that's it.
Star Wars?
Not yet.
It's December, dude. What's wrong with you? Come November on. 3rd, bitches. 3rd is in Thor Ragnarok.
November Thor?
Yep. Yeah.
See what you did there.
Chris Hemsworth is back as the God of Thunder in lightning.
And rock and roll.
Oh. No.
I'll be in this movie.
Joining him. On their adventure will be the big green guy himself. The Jolly Green Giant.
Fights a giant wolf.
He does fight a giant wolf.
Yep.
Cool with that.
But we're talking about the Hulk, Mark Ruffalo. A lot of things going on in this movie. There's a lot of rumors around what happens.
As fuck.
One of the rumors is probably not going to be happening, because they say that this is... there was a lot of rumors saying that this is the last time Tom Hiddleston is playing Loki, so he's probably going to die in this movie.
I thought he was supposed to have his big triumphant death in Avengers.
So this is what's coming out. His contract is up with this because he filmed his scenes in tandem. So his last movie technically is Infinity War Part 1, or whatever they're going to call it.
No. But he's already filmed it.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that movie's done, by the way. No. They started filming the second one already.
Yeah.
But everyone's like, oh, he's going to die in this movie. But if you saw the leaked footage that we saw for Infinity War, he's in it. So he doesn't die in this movie. And if he does, something else happens where the scene you saw from the Avengers clip is actually before this. I don't know. But this movie needs to be 3 hours long, I think. Because lots of shits happen in this.
No, I just want it to be super fast paced. Just 2 hours and
8 minutes.
3 minutes.
8 minutes.
No rest at all. Just fucking just go, action. Go,
hammer
go,
breaks,
go,
death,
go,
death,
go.
Death, 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 death,
yeah.
Fighting with Hulk, fighting with a wolf, with shooting motherfuckers
jokes
with laser guns.
Sprinkled in. Just sprinkled in.
Yep. Full penetration, like the whole nine yards of a sword going
this,
in somebody.
Because everyone kind of knows that, like, because of Guardians, they're like, we want another Guardians toned movie. So, like, a lighter, mm-hmm. more comedy movie. And I actually think Thor is the right character to do this with. When I first heard it was going to be more like Guardians, I was like, don't do that. Don't do more like another movie you're making. Just fucking make it different. But it seems, it feels like a 80s action movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's a fucking scene where him and Loki have, like, laser machine guns.
Yep.
I'm so fucking on board with that. Like, that's, yeah, I'm completely sold when I saw that.
That's it just made me think, like, Tango and Cash in space.
Yes. And, like, Tom Hiddleston and Chris
Hemsworth
have such a good chemistry that I want to see them in different dynamics. Because you've seen them kind of against each other. You've seen them kind of with each other. But this one seems, like, full in. We're a buddy cop duo kind of theme to it. I'm really excited about
this.
You
have to choose. Okay, so if you choose buddy cop, which one gets the mustache?
Thor.
I think
Thor gets the mustache. Oh, show.
Yeah.
Joe was thinking for a second. I didn't know if
Loki
would
look like a pedophile with a mustache.
Well, yeah, I'm putting it on both of them. And I think just Tom Hiddleston himself looks better without that, like, a mustache. Thor would be able to pull it off.
I'm trying to think, did I see?
I think Hiddleston would have, like, a really thin, rapey looking mustache. I don't think
like, you're okay with Tom Hiddleston, but that mustache is gonna rape you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Thor's mustache,
like,
would
Tom Hiddleston was gonna try
Tom Selleck.
Like, he tried, yeah, with a fucking puss broom for sure. Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
and he's
Tom
gonna
Hiddleston
be mopping up if you know.
Will
what I'm
try to stop his mustache from raping people.
Yeah,
not gonna happen.
Yeah, Thor's mustache will have pussy just thrown at it.
Yes.
Yeah, literally. He will have to be dodging it. It's going to slide off the side. He's going to constantly be combing it to get all the other hair out of it. Like, it's just.
Yeah. So I agree.
He's going to have to wet back it.
What is that? Stotchgard?
Stotchgard?
So it's water resistant?
Yeah.
So the pussy juice just beads off of his fucking stash.
He just donates and he just like, sprinklets. The blowing motion, you know. For those us with mustaches, when you get out of the shower and you like, you do something, you see the like the little tentacles of mustache. Mm-hmm. Just it makes me laugh every time. But yeah, it's gonna be like just sheets of pussy juice just flying everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show, kids.
Lock Talk Radio.
I have not seen this first one yet, but I will probably watch it before this comes out. Which is Daddy's Home 2.
Mm.
That's the Will Ferrell and
Marky Mark.
Marky Mark.
The movie is good.
Mike warned me that this trailer was hilarious.
Uh-huh.
I said, eh, because the first movie looks terrible to me.
It does look terrible.
He says it's really funny. So, because I've turned a new leaf, I believe him and I will watch it. But if I do not find it funny or as hilarious as he says it is, I will not see this movie.
That's fair. I'm going to see this movie because I didn't watch Daddy's Home in theaters because I was like, this is going to be one of those we try to throw two funny people together and make a big movie and it's going to fall flat. It just felt like that from the get-go and I didn't like the premise of it and I was like, it's going to be dumb and just garbage. Like, that's what I thought and the trailers looked awful and the trailers continue to look awful. Even watching them now after I've seen the movie, I'm like, man, they really didn't do themselves any favors.
It was funny because when I first heard about it, I was like, you know what? That could be good because they were together in the other guys.
Yeah, and that was amazing.
And they were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And him and John C. Reilly were amazing as Step Brothers. And I really hope the Step Brothers sequel somehow formulates out of this because it really needs to happen.
Yeah.
Who'd they add to this movie too? Who plays the dad? I can't remember.
So John Lithgow plays Will Ferrell's dad, and yeah. Mel Gibson
was that's
Marky Mark's dad.
And then when you see the movie, it's perfect for those characters to have those guys be their dads.
Well, from the trailer, it looked perfect.
But when you watch, if you watch the first one, like you're like, yeah, this is like pitch perfect casting.
Yeah,
like you can't do better casting for their dads than this.
All I needed to be told was John Cena's in this.
John Cena's got a small cameo role in the first one.
Oh, he is in the first one. Okay, well, I'm definitely watching the first one.
He's got one line, and
it's all I need.
The last. But he
Sisters. Have you seen Sisters?
He is really funny in Sisters.
He plays a drug dealer, like a fucking crazy tattooed up drug dealer.
Uh huh.
Greatest part of that movie. Yeah. That movie's really funny and has the sad points to it, and has like completely predictable like everything in it. But it's like it's not one of those movies that's going to shock you by any means. He was so fantastic in that movie. It made me laugh so hard. And he's in it for, what, 10 and a half minutes?
If that much screen time.
Yeah.
If.
Wow.
Like, his scene lasts that long, but he's not in every part of it.
And he's like, he has a couple of lines, background role. But he's really good in it. He's really good in Trainwreck, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's fantastic in Trainwreck.
Is the one he has sex with what's-her-face?
Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
He kind of flipped the script somehow. Right. He was in all these shitty movies, and you're like, oh, he's a shitty actor.
You're talking about 12 Rounds?
Yeah. And
the first two, right? The first Marine.
The first 12 Rounds, and the only, The Reunion, I think was the other one. The one that was actually pretty good, and not good enough to where you should buy it.
What's The Reunion?
It's a, dude, they buried that one. It's like a family, like, gets together, revenge kind of thing. Hmm. Looks like they try to do their version of Four Brothers, almost.
Ugh. Right.
Yeah. but the one WWE one that he did that wasn't bad was this movie called Legendary. It had Danny Glover was in it, too. It was about a high school wrestler. But it's not good either. It's not great. And it's, like, barely good. But that was the best one that he did. And I was like, oh, okay, so he's done making movies.
Did that one come around the same time the fucking Channing Tatum one did?
No. A couple years before.
Okay, because, man, there's
it was a straight-to-DVD kind of
deal. Oh, gotcha, okay.
Because
that fucking movie is insane.
Yeah, that one's weird.
I didn't see that one in theaters. I saw one later, and that shit was...
But all of a sudden, he went away from movies for a while. And then he started taking smaller parts in movies and just fucking
he should have done
from the get go.
Yeah.
The other key was the
paychecks though.
WWE movies, which they even stopped kind of making WWE movies. Now they're just partnering up with people to finance.
Because they're
movies.
Like, hey, we have lots of money.
Yeah, and I'm one of those people who believe that wrestlers should be in more movies. Because done correctly, they have all the training.
They're actors and entertainers,
actors, like movie stars.
They play characters every time they're on TV.
On live TV. And they
which is harder than anything.
They have to hit their marks. They have to worry about hard cameras. They have to worry about crowd reaction. And on top of that, they have to be physically active while doing all this.
And there's that element of improvisation they have to do, you know what I mean? Because it is live.
That's listening to the crowd and changing stuff up on a fly.
Which is what Bobby Roode does, like, amazingly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because he feeds off of it.
Amazing at it. So I was happy when Cena, like, got the
Marine
part.
7 with Bobby Roode. I'll watch it.
I'm in. But he did. Okay. And he did some TV shows. Like, he always had those guest appearances.
Hello.
He had Psych. He had...
his best work yet.
And some other ones, because USA Network was peddling all their wrestlers out on all their shows.
Because Miz was in an episode of
Miz was in like Sirens too. He was actually really funny.
Yeah, he was really in Sirens. Told you Sirens is fucking hilarious.
I love Sirens.
It should have never been canceled. It was too racy though.
But yeah, Cena all of a sudden is now like this hot commodity, where like he nailed it in a couple small parts, and then he's in the next Daddy's Home, and then he got the lead in the fucking Bumblebee spinoff movie.
Yeah, which is nuts to me.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
Really?
Okay. That made it very interesting.
He's opposite a young teenage girl. Yeah. And the best part is, it's set in the 80s. So, like, the picture you see of him, he's just wearing this completely, like, way too tight. I think it was just painted on him shirt, and it looks like it's a faded, like, AC/DC type, like, I don't know if it's AC/DC, but you know what I'm talking about, like yeah. the rock band shirts or whatever, and it's just like threadbare, like, it was a perfectly fine shirt, but it was like two sizes too small for him, and they like just vacuum formed it onto him, and he's just sitting there. I was like, all right, like, he's gonna bust out of that.
Fair enough.
But
so yeah, it's interesting to see where his career is gonna go to, because I don't think they should do any more Transformers movies, but I gotta say, if they're gonna do it, going smaller is the right way to do it. You know, one fucking Autobot kind of thing. I'm like, all right, well, if you have to make another one, like, this is the route you should take.
Yeah, I'm not completely sold on it by any means.
Yeah.
I'm gonna still
very
go see
hesitant
it
to see it. I might not see it.
I will say this though. I think I will wait for the trailer to see if I'm gonna see it, because I said that. I watched the trailers for the last one, and I still went to see it, and I was still disappointed.
Yeah, because you're a dick. Maybe watch it with you.
Yeah. I need one friend. I don't want to go by myself. One of my Taj.
Hey!
I can say that shit because he doesn't listen. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I might see that, but I will say I will watch, because I'm pretty sure I own some kind of service that Daddy's Home is going to be on.
Yeah.
It's on one of those. If not, I might. We'll see what happens. I'm not made of money.
Yeah, he is.
No, because I would smell bad and be addicted to Coke. Next up, that same week, actually, I'm interested in this movie because of all the people that are in it, but it is Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, no. It's going to be bad.
I have that feeling, too, but I want to see it to see how they do it.
Because you like shitty stuff.
How do I put this politely? Go fuck yourself.
So what's after that?
Justice League, November 17th.
There we go.
Yeah.
That sucks. This whole podcast is to kind of illustrate a point, we have to wait until November 17th to get something I'm really excited about.
Thor?
Well, November. I'm sorry. You have to wait till November. And it's like, fuck, dude, it's so long. Mm-hmm. Like, so fucking far away. There's so many shitty things coming out, or just weeks like this week where nothing's coming out. That's brutal.
What makes it nice, though, is we do have a week to, like, this week can easily be a catch-up to see stuff we haven't seen yet. So, but yes, you are correct. It's this time of year is always, like, you get through August, and, like, usually August is a pretty solid month. Like, every week there's something. This year was not so great.
There's
like
usually one surprise.
September
in this couple
and
months.
Most usually October is reserved for video games.
Yeah.
TV coming back and the sprinkling of a good, at least one good horror movie, which this year there are none. Because, I mean, I'm going to see Jigsaw, but other than It, which I think is perfectly placed because it does have a lull, and it's not that, they're not trying to force it on you, the Halloween scary movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I also think that it's perfectly timed because, as we found out today, yet another property of Stephen King is being made into something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be on Netflix with Thomas Jane in it. And we were looking for something else today when we were hanging out.
Yeah.
And I found that and I was like, well, I had no idea what this was.
1922.
Yeah.
I think it was part of his a novella that he did in 2010. I just can't remember the name of it.
Yeah. So that's another thing, too. But yes, your statement is correct. Waiting till November, from like the smattering of stuff in between those times, for movie wise, especially if you're not like a video game person, or I don't know why you're listening to the show if you're not a TV person. But if you're not one of those, you don't have a lot of those things to look forward to, or even if you're one of those people who watch TV shows but you don't watch them live, you know, you wait. And you binge watch them when they come out, like, for example, like Walking Dead. Like, there's people, I don't know how they don't get spoiled or if they just are immune to it. If you don't watch that stuff, you don't have much going on. But movie-wise, yeah, it's a pretty sparse landscape between August and November.
Mm-hmm.
But Justice League, a couple big things about this.
Uh-oh.
It was recently released as of earlier today that Joss Whedon is officially getting a screen writer credit.
Oh, so he wrote some shit.
Yes. So they brought him. So it was rumored a while back that they brought him in to rewrite some stuff. Originally, he rewrote some stuff that Zack Snyder was going to film,
mm-hmm.
which as part of the reshoots, because they wanted to add some things in. He had some family issues he was going through. He stepped away from the project, and because Joss Whedon is known as a director as well as a writer, I mean, he's made a few things.
Yeah.
They gave that to him. The problem with this is everyone automatically took this as a saying, hey, WB and DC don't believe in Zack Snyder anymore. They're bringing in this guy to change the movie.
Of course.
But it has been, I mean, again, we can't take this all as truth, but we were told through things like Twitter, from like Jeff Johns and other people, that he isn't redoing the movie. He's redoing certain scenes that they wanted to change for story elements that have to do with all of the Justice League.
Yeah.
So he was brought in originally to rewrite those scenes because they wanted them differently. And because of the unfortunate family stuff that Zach was going through, gave them opportunity to give him the chair as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it should be interesting to see. Obviously, we haven't seen any clips from it yet. I'm sure we'll get one or two. Well, probably get one big trailer again. I'm going to suppose we'll get it on the internet in October. And we'll see it in front of, like, Thor. Actually, I wonder if we'll see it when Wonder Woman hits Blu-ray.
I would almost say that.
Yeah, we might get it then. Yeah. That's probably a safe bet. So that'd be interesting to see. And it's interesting to see if we can tell. Because a lot of people are like, oh, we could see the difference in the Comic-Con reel. Well, he hadn't started filming anything yet. Enough to get it cut. And
yeah, that's stupid.
So that's just you being dummies, internet. But yeah. But also in an update of this, we last week on the show were talking about some, we'll say, not fake news, but misleading news about the Batman,
mm-hmm.
and about the Ben Afflecks and Matt Reeves. And just so we don't sound like we're not paying attention, that was fresh off the internet churn wheel right then and there, that minute when we were recording. The very next day, after we recorded, it actually came out of what the truth was. So if you don't know, and you get all your news from us.
Thank you, by the way.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you're welcome for being behind by a week. But we thank you for listening. The truth is, what Matt Reeves said was true. He just used the wrong words. The words he spoke in the interview were, this is a standalone movie. What he meant to say is, it's a standalone story. Let me break this down for you. If you say standalone movie, which means it has nothing to connect to anything else in the world, I'll give you an example. If you were to make a movie... Yo, farty chair, calm down.
Yeah.
If you were to make a movie, we'll just call it Serenity, right? You can make that, and it's a standalone story, and it's its own movie.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the TV show, right? It's a standalone thing. It's its own thing. But yes, it's connected to something else. You could do that with Batman. You could easily do that.
Yeah.
Because it's something people know.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, Joe and I were kind of... in that train of thought, thinking like that's probably what he meant.
Yeah.
And Taj was really like, well, that's not what he said. It's like, yeah, people can, like, it's also a print interview.
Yes.
So you don't know what was said before, what was said after. You
could
don't
be
know
out
the
of context
clues to it. Mm-hmm.
So
I'm not saying they were trying to be clickbaity, but it felt like they were trying to be clickbaity.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is, what he should have said is, it's a standalone story. Meaning, it's taking from the bigger universe, but the story is focusing only on Batman.
Yeah.
So basically, think of it this way. The Batman is just going to be just like Man of Steel was to Superman.
Or Wonder Woman.
Or Wonder Woman was to Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Sounds like I'm stupid and I don't know what I'm talking about. each of those movies, we're tied to the major universe, but the story that you're focusing on literally has nothing to do with anybody else except for that person.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man of Steel had to do with just Superman. Wonder Woman just had to do with just Wonder Woman. And the Batman, in its two planned sequels, will deal only with Batman.
Ooh, two planned sequels?
I threw that in there to see if anyone else caught it.
That's awesome.
Yes, he's writing this as a trilogy.
And all of them are with Ben Affleck.
Yes.
Yes.
So Ben Affleck, it was just released, Ben Affleck's contract with DC. You ready for this fucking number?
Let's do this.
Okay, so let's add up the number right now we know he's been in.
We have...
Batman v Superman.
Batman v Superman.
We have Wonder Woman.
And
we have Justice.
Well, he wasn't really in Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
but it still counts as his voice.
He was in. Like he talked in it. So he's technically had an impact. Okay. So it's, we have three. So we know he's in Justice League, right?
Mm-hmm. Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we know of so far. Right. And obviously the Batman, right?
And the Batman. We'll do
it. So those four. His contract with DC and WB, 16 movies.
Holy shit.
Mike literally just got like the blinky face.
Right?
Because he's trying to do the math.
That's nuts.
So what has turned out to be what they're finding is he is going to be their Iron Man. Which makes sense. He's a billionaire who has gadgets, right? He will be the linchpin that ties all of them together. That's why you see him in Suicide Squad, even though if you think about it, all those villains are really Batman villains for the most part.
Right.
But he's also like, that's like, I mean, you say Ben Affleck's going to be in it as Batman. You're like, well, I'm going to check that out.
Right. Yeah.
But they're going to use, because if you know the modern way that Justice League works is it's the three main tent poles, but Batman's is the one that kind of holds them all together.
Yeah.
They all flock to him as the main point. So that makes sense. We're four movies in so far as of November. That means we have 12 more movies. We now know three of them will be Batman movies.
So probably get a couple of Justice League movies, and then it'll probably be, I'm guessing, cameo-ish roles in a lot of them. So that makes sense. Like 16 is still a big number, but that doesn't seem that big when you count him talking in Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And you count him showing up at the end of The Flash for something.
Because with the same thing with Robert Downey Jr., I mean,
you know, he showed up in the bar scene in the end.
That's
of
a lot. You know, he's got to have a lot of appearances there. So.
So the one thing that brings us up is with the digital release of Wonder Woman just this past Tuesday, we did find out there's a deleted scene in that is a direct link to the Justice League movie, but it was cut because they wanted to keep the Wonder Woman movie. So like that's why you didn't see Batman or you didn't see Bruce Wayne. You saw references to it because again, same universe.
Yeah.
So you see the Wayne Corp people, but you don't see Batman. You don't see that stuff, but you know, like, you know, obviously like it's a letter and it's blah, 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 right?
It has the Wayne logo on it.
So it's in there. This scene apparently was a direct linking to the next movie, like Marvel does, where like this movie is its own thing, and then at the end credits, the Stinger scene, one thing leads to
the next.
What's happening next, you know? You see Thanos holding picking up the gauntlet for the first time, or even one of those things, you know what I mean? That's the next one. This, apparently, I haven't watched it yet, because, I mean, I own it, but I haven't watched it yet. I just haven't had time, and I'm lazy. You see this part, like this scene apparently sets that up. Links, not because the story wise, but just says, hey, like, remember, we have Wonder Woman. We already know she's linked to Superman and Batman because of Batman v Superman. This movie is linked because, hey, there's a little scene that has them in it. But the thing about this deleted scene is this is like a full on, like, we finished this. It was in the original cut. And they're like, no, let's just go ahead and remove it. Removing it doesn't take away from the movie. But leaving it in doesn't do anything else either. We just want to keep it by itself. You know what I mean? Just like Man of Steel had elements of the bigger world in it, because you saw the Wayne Corp building, you saw the Wayne Corp satellite. You know that Wayne is a thing in this world.
Yeah.
Same way as in Wonder Woman, you see it's the Wayne Corp, you know, that sort of thing. Suicide Squad was the same way. Obviously, you saw Batman, but you saw, you know, the Death of Superman type thing leading into it. So, like, those. Because Suicide Squad, so far, is the only movie that really played off of the other two that came before it. You know what I mean? Like, you had Man of Steel, which obviously was the first thing. Batman v Superman was obviously a direct sequel to Man of Steel. Suicide Squad was directed off of that. I think the reason they wanted to go this way with Wonder Woman is so they keep it separate. You know what I mean? Yes, it's in the same world, but again, it's a standalone story. You're not focusing on other things. Yeah. So that's what they're planning to do with the Batman as well. So that's pretty cool.
So much for all those reports that Ben Affleck's dropping out as Batman.
Yes.
It's like, let's fucking wait a little bit before we...
Wait till he officially says he's dropping out.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
it's like, it's the same thing. They made such a big deal of Ben Affleck deciding not to direct it.
Yeah.
And people were like, what? Oh, this movie's in so much turmoil and it's in trouble. It's like, yo, like... Mm-hmm. If it was Argo, he can direct and act. Town. You know what I mean? The town, like, but those movies didn't require ridiculous stunt sequences and heavily costume made up. You know what I mean? Like, it would have to be a huge pain in the ass.
And both those movies, The Town and Argo, he technically wasn't forefront the entire time.
Right. Yeah.
With the Batman, his name's in it.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fucking Batman movie.
Yeah, like, it's the Batman.
So yeah, I was never too concerned about that news. I was a little bummed because I really enjoy Ben Affleck's directing work.
Yeah, I think though, I think it's interesting to see who they brought in to follow him up, because so if you guys don't know Matt Reeve, his pedigree, he's in movie world, he's not very old. I'll give you the three things you may know him for. Well, four things now. So the newer Planet of the Apes movies. So he did, if not mistaken, he did Dawn and Rise, but he didn't do... Or I'm sorry, he did Rise and War, but I don't think he did Dawn.
Okay. Right.
But he did Cloverfield.
Okay.
That's his first. That was his first real big movie. So those are his three things. Knowing that, the aesthetics of all three of those movies, they're dark, they're very, very gritty. I think those play well into his vision of a noirish type Batman story.
Mm-hmm.
And also that he believes that the Riddler is the most terrifying Batman villain.
Played right, he can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, almost any villain, if you play it correctly, it could be.
Well, but, I mean, it almost seems like it'd be a little bit more grounded, kind of like the Christopher Nolan stuff, because we haven't introduced anything like Clayface or Bane.
In the Batman realm, we haven't seen anything supernatural. I mean, obviously, Suicide Squad, you did, because you had a guy who turned into a giant flaming skeleton.
Yeah.
I mean, and you had a witch.
But depending on how dark they go, I mean... You know, the Riddler could literally be just like murdering people.
Fucking sociopath. Like, he could, even if you really want, I mean, obviously you're not going to make it rated R, which I'm completely okay with.
Oh my God. Yes. Give me, Zazz.
Like, well, yeah, no, but I'm saying he could be in the realm of like the Jigsaw.
Yeah.
Like that type of thing where he's putting people into almost borderline inescapable traps.
Yes.
And their only way they can get out is to maim themselves, or if Batman shows up and punches through walls and shit. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm down for that. But I think the fact that he's planning the three movies just like his predecessor did,
because
Christopher Nolan went in thinking, hey, I'm making a Batman trilogy and this is how I'm going to do it.
Yep.
I think is a very smart idea. Plus, he's just giving himself work for the next, 10 years.
Right.
Because, I mean... He now only has to focus on just the Batman. So, I mean, we know they're never going to kill Bruce Wayne off.
No.
So, it's never going to happen. Those three movies could be really good.
Real quick, before we wrap up. Yeah.
What? We got more movies to go. I'll skip to the next one.
No. So, we'll get back to the movies and end it at December. But... What who would you like to play Riddler? If you know they're playing a dark, very dark tonal movie, Who would you like?
So the thing that I was thinking, because of the age of Batflex Batman, I want a grizzled old Riddler. I want one he's gone toe to toe with before, and like this is the he's been beaten by Batman so many times that this is like his magnum opus. Like he's gonna fuck Batman up in the worst way possible. He's gonna do the worst things possible, and I want someone like a Bryan Cranston character who can play the face of Riddler as this maniac, but also in real life be this vulnerable, meek man. But when he's in the persona of the Riddler, he's this fucking just terrible human being. That's the one that jumps in my head right away.
You say Bryan Cranston, yeah. And I think you're right. Kind of his character from Breaking Bad, at least where he's isn't physically, because that was the first thing I thought of. It's like this guy can't be physically imposing.
Nope, can't be.
Can't be physically imposing at all, but has a presence that is physically imposing.
And will do everything. His brain will be his weapon against Batman, whose main weapon is brute force.
Yeah.
Yes, he's very smart. He's a detective. But when he's battling you, it's this fisticuffs and this.
Yeah.
And Riddler's like, nah, man. You ain't going to get me.
Mm.
So the wheels are turning over in Mike's head right now.
Mm.
You look like you were like in contemplation. Yeah. Like you're like deep in the deep dark.
If you want an older type like that, this fucking Schumacher ruined everything.
Yes.
How dope would George Clooney be for something like that?
He'd be good.
Let him fucking go a little bit crazy, you know? Because that's like the one thing we haven't really... Because he's a hell of an actor. And I know he could do it, but like, let's make him a psychopath for the first time. You know what I mean? Let's really fucking make him batshit crazy and dangerous for the first time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That'd be
really fun.
Hmm.
But my instant thought, though, before you mentioned going old, is I instantly went to Leonardo DiCaprio. Because...
Even that, I mean, technically, he's old.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't look old. He's baby-faced. You know what I mean? Like, he's a baby-faced dude, so he could play a lot younger, and he's always, like, the good-looking guy, you know? I mean, so is George Clooney, but he is older and he can play, I think he could play crazy, but I instantly went to Leonardo DiCaprio because you've seen him play crazy a little bit. And the reason I think he would be a good is, Shutter Island.
Yeah.
Like I saw him lose his shit in Shutter Island. And like when he does that, it looks like he looks like a comic book villain. At that point, and I'm like, oh fuck, he needs to play that shit.
But also,
sometime.
Django Unchained.
That's what I thought.
Well, because he's sinister in that one, but like he went crazy.
Yeah, what I mean, like if you watch like that just dinner scene alone,
exactly.
He has that pompousness, and then he has like just that fucking just when he obviously when he cuts his hand, he smashes the skull, and you just have that fucking just.
He went with it.
Mad person, you know what I mean? Like he has that.
He's good.
He has that thing where he. He has that, you know, oh, I'm goofy and whatever, and I'm this silly fucking rich guy who owns slaves to, I'm a fucking just, Jesus Christ, you're insane. Like, you are literally scaring the pee out of me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I would even go for that, too. I just want, I would like to see someone like, you know, Bryan Cranston, because, A, I love Bryan Cranston and everything he does, but also he has that, he has that pedigree now that up until Breaking Bad, I would never guess he would have had.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. So Breaking Bad is obviously what everyone points to. But he just has that, the ability, I think, to be that double person you need to have, even in that same stance. Like, because there's parts in my head where when I read good Riddler stories where he's both at one time, he's that... Oh, I'm this little, and you're never gonna, you know, I'm never gonna be able to fight you. And all of a sudden, I'm just like fucking maniac, you know what I mean? So I think it'd be amazing. Skipped a bunch. We don't have to talk about to the last one, Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
When are we getting a trailer? Another trailer?
I would gonna guess on Friday, since Friday is Force Friday.
Just yeah, so you know. It's a forced holiday.
Yeah. So when I say the September 1st, which is the day this goes up, we may see a new trailer, because it is Force Friday 2, which started last year with Rogue One, where it's a lot of retailers and things throughout the internet big have like it's like May 4th is like Christmas is like is or not Christmas May 4th is like literally like Star Wars Day. Why September 1st? I have no idea. And there's got to be a reason in there somewhere, but it is Force Friday, and they're pushing a lot of things. Like a lot of things are happening that day.
Even Best Buy is getting into it with like sales on some of the Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, like they're it's really dumb. Lego's releasing a bunch of the new Last Jedi stuff, which we got to see today.
Yeah, we got to see that today, but they're supposed to be announcing the.
So October 1st is when we get to finally see what it is, but apparently, according to the Lego store guy, Friday, September 1st, we get a little more hints on what that big new set is. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, the largest. So I could look up the details and I'll do it real quick. I won't look it up, but I'll tell you. To date, the largest set that Lego's ever released is the Taj Mahal, and it's something like 6,192 pieces or somewhere around there. This new Star Wars set, which is got lots of rumors, but the main one everyone's going after for is a movie size replica of the Millennium Falcon, will be 1,600 more pieces than the Taj Mahal.
More. 1,600 more than 6,000
pieces. Yes. So the Taj Mahal is just under 6,200 pieces. This will be close to 1,800 pieces.
Yeah.
Or 8,000 pieces. So, which is ridiculous. Madness in there. But we got to see the Snooks Star Destroyer.
That's what it was, yeah.
Toy today. That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
The AT-M6 Walker toy comes out.
Mm-hmm.
The new Kylo Ren TIE Fighter comes out. He said another one with Poe Dameron was coming out too, besides the Walker.
Yeah, because he said the Poe Dameron the Walker one was just listed as Poe Dameron, but the other set that he was in,
the Walker was
Captain Poe Dameron,
and the other one he's just Poe Dameron.
Yeah.
Interesting to see what it is, but yeah, so that will be out Friday too. So look at that. I'm sure I'll be posting stuff about it too.
Yeah,
because I always do. But to answer Mike's question, most likely we will probably see something Friday as of right now, which is Wednesday, 2 days from now. The day this goes live on Blog Talk Radio for the first time ever.
Blog Talk Radio?
What? Will be the next time we see a trailer for it. So I would guess. I'm just going to guess that would be when we see it. We'll see a real trailer, like not a teaser trailer or a behind the scenes sizzle reel.
Boom. Let's do it.
And so our producer's giving us the wrap up symbol. So, or having a hand seizure. I'm not too sure which one it was.
Fan goes round.
Big yellow one is the sun.
Hey, Cody. You like fans? Because I know I do. They go round.
Is this it's the thing we're working on today?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, Cody?
Do you like buckles on your shoes?
Oh, I love buckles.
I do too.
Please, let's end this fucking podcast right now.
Because I'm Amish Harry Carey.
Because
they don't.
Let's say goodbye to the fine folks that downloaded this wonderful episode for the first time off of blogtalkradio.com.
Comes naturally, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Keep it tight.